हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय रघुनाथ जी
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Today I
हरे
have
कृष्ण
some more things to do. Then I am apologizing. I will not be in the picture. I will listen and from interacting, but I will not have the video
Oh,
on.
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be able to read?
Yes. It's
Yeah, okay,
everything,
okay.
but I will be a little in the moving. Then I do not want to that the video is running
Okay,
while doing. Yeah.
okay.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो
ओ भगवान
भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो गीताय. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, text number 18. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyutama shloke bhaktir bhavati naistiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of God, who is praised with the transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Purport by His Divine Grace, Prabhupada. Here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart which are considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of the Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavatas, namely the book Bhagavata and the devotee Bhagavata. Both the Bhagavatas are competent remedies, and both of them or either of them can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavata is as good as the book Bhagavata, because the devotee Bhagavata leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavata, and the book Bhagavata is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, who are also Bhagavatas. Bhagavata book and the person are identical. The devotee Bhagavata is a direct representative of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So, by pleasing the devotee Bhagavata, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavata. Human reason fails to understand how, by serving the devotee Bhagavata or the book Bhagavata, one gets gradual promotion on the path devotion. But actually, these are facts explained by Sri Narada Deva, who happened to be a mind servant's son in his previous life. The mind servant was engaged in the menial service of the sages, and thus he also came into contact with them. And simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of foodstuff left by the sages, the son of the main servants got the chance to become the great devotee and personality Sri Narada Deva. These are the miraculous effects of the association of Bhagavatas. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of the Bhagavatas, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, with the result that he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. More progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavatas, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The messages of the book Bhagavata, therefore, have to be received from the devotee Bhagavata, and the combination of these two Bhagavatas will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. This is the end of the book.
Yeah, so now here they've been discussed up to now the various elements, how that pure devotional service is going to be the most beneficial for the living entities. And now we're hearing that he's pointing out is that it's by the association of the Bhagavats. So the book Bhagavat then is describing the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord with his devotees. And the devotee Bhagavat, they're going to live the lifestyle of someone who is absorbed in Bhagavatam. And by their association, we're going to hear about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. So both, like Prabhupada mentions, each one of them is complete in itself because they conclude both. But this is the unique mystical element of the Lord, is that the association of the devotee Bhagavat, that's going to be the most dynamic, because there you have someone who will interact with you and see that you're doing what you're supposed to do, right? Pointing out that you understand what the book Bhagavat is saying. Because otherwise we may read on our own. That means we're supposed to read on our own, but we're reading on our own under the guidance of the devotee Bhagavat, right? So we're reading the Bhagavatam, and we're hearing the purports of Srila Prabhupada, and we're discussing that in the association or the assembly of the devotees. And so that combination, that's going to see that we're, you know, understanding any doubts that are there removed. You know, like it says that whatever is inauspicious in the heart is removed basically to almost nil. And then the devotional service becomes established as an irrevocable fact, because that's the nature of the soul. That's the natural position of the living entity, soul. And so by functioning in that way, by going through the process as mentioned here by Sutta Goswami, the whole path becomes cleared very easily. So this is actually the main focus. Devotional service is about these two. The preaching mission is about these two, that the devotee Bhagavats are preaching about surrendering to the book Bhagavat and serving the Supreme Lord. And Lord Chaitanya has said, you know, his name will be in every town and village. And who's going to take it there? In other words, the book Bhagavat will go to every town and village by the direction, or by the being carried there by the devotee Bhagavat. So the whole thing is very perfect. So this is basically, you can say, is the mission is doing this as an individual, and the greater mission is then doing these activities in the association of other devotees in a, you know, a coordinated and regular way. So that's how the mission or the institution is expanded from the mission. It's simply how to coordinate and see that these two aspects of the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat, that kind of association is going on and is available for others to take advantage of. That's what's actually going on. So that's why you see is that this being the highest, so when we say this is actually the purpose of leadership, then this is the real thing. Everything else is sub. That would be like saying, like if I said yes to the actual main service is, how you say, seeing that there is a meal there, a complete meal, for the devotees, let's say. And then if someone says, oh no, but it's so much more than that, and you say, more than the devote meal for the devotee, yeah, sometimes the plates are dirty, we have to wash the plates, and you have the pots, they need washing, and then someone has to buy the boga, and that requires money, so you can go buy the boga. And you have to see that the van is, in good working order, so you can take it to the market and pick up the boga, and then, you're going to have somebody worshiping the deities, like that, so we can make the offering and all that. And then we need some guys that are going to clean the kitchen and some other guys to cut vegetables and all that. And, someone else to clean the floor after they take prasad. So it's so much more than arranging the meal for the devotees. But the point is all that is simply secondary activities of arranging the meal. Right? So, in other words, who would say that unless they don't understand what the actual purpose of all those other things for? Why are you going to the market? Just because you like going to the market, you like the fresh air, like talking to the local guys, how much the potatoes are and stuff like that, or like that, or you're like fixing the van because you like hanging out with the guys down at the what do you call it, the shop where they fix all the cars and all that, and that's the nice thing, or washing the pot is the real thing. It means all these things are important, in they have a meaning. You're washing the pot to cook for the devotees. You're going to the market to buy boga to cook for the devotees. You're arranging the money and all that to buy the boga so you can cook for the devotees. You're cleaning the floor and all that, either before they take, so it's proper environment, clean environment to take prasad for the devotees, or after they've taken, then you're doing there. Does that make sense? So it's all going to connect. It's all going to connect together. So that's why then one has to see is that it's not about it's not that, oh, it's more detail, so therefore that's the more important thing. No, if the principle's not in place, none of that detail works. Because otherwise somebody just likes to go to the market. They go to the market and buy some shoes. Or it's like to fix the car, but you could go down to fix the car and put on some racing tires and a new carburetor and fix the exhaust and put in tint some windows. You could do so many things by going and fixing. You could do so many things like that, but it has nothing to do with the cooking for the devotees. So one has to see is that the principle is that these two were exposed to the association of these two Bhagavats. That's all there is. Everything else is a detail. Like, let's say, when you say, oh, but we have to be practical, we have a family. But why do you have a family? Right? You have a family so that, because you have to situate yourself somehow or another. So someone's comfortable as a brahmachari, someone's a grihastha, someone vanaprastha, someone is sannyas. And so that's the comfortable position for them to do their service. So being a householder is just so you're comfortable so you can do your service. It doesn't have a separate purpose. Right? And you're doing some activity, some occupational duty and all that. But then again, it's just a matter, is it intellectual work? Is it administrative work? Is it economic work? Or is it some assistance to others, the practical work? But it's just so that you have, therefore, the money that you can maintain your position so you can do service to Krishna. So that's the point, is that in the descending process of understanding, you understand it's all about Krishna and the devotees. That's all there is. Then everything else expands from there. Like Prabhupada said, this movement is chanting, dancing, and taking prasad. Like that. All other things are simply in support of that. Right? You maintain the temple so that the chanting, dancing, and taking prasad can go on. You know, you call people to come to the temple so that they can also take part in the chanting, dancing, and taking prasad. Right? So everything's centered around Krishna consciousness, the preaching. And so if you put it too much on the particular, like you say, it's the management and all that. But at the same time, as they say management, but what practical management's going on? Sitting in a chair and talking does not necessarily mean it's management. Like that. No, but you have to have these meetings and this and that. Prabhupada wanted the GBC meetings, you know, that happened once a year, only the last 3 days. I think it originally started out as 3 hours, one sitting of 3 hours. And that should be enough because it's about preaching what's going on, why you're doing this and that, or having this, and then it's discussed and that, because details are going to be worked out by each individual in their area. The principle is what it is, where the confusion comes in. And if somebody has, okay, they understand the principle, don't know how to apply it into their situation, then that can be explained. How long does that take? Right? You know, because you're supposed to be talking about the most experienced. And so then I think Prabhupada said, okay, it can be 3 days. So that means that's 9 hours. And it's, they can say, oh, that's impossible. But I remember one devotee, this is sometime back, he went to, you know, a school, a boarding school, you know, that's generally, you know, your more high society in that go to. And after 20 years, he met, I think it was two, it must have been some kind of a reunion or something, maybe for the school that, you know, every year they have a reunion of whoever was there or something like that. So this must have been like a 20-year reunion or that. So he met two of his old friends that he used to associate with in school. And so then, it's interesting that he's like a monk that lives in India and, you know, runs a school and does all this and that and stuff, you know, because he was the administrator and all. And one of the friends was, one of the friends was working with some company that dealt with oil research, finding where there is oil. You know, and they were the top in the world, you know, and so the machines that they work with cost millions and millions of dollars and like that. And the one guy was saying that when they have a meeting, you know, the top guy of the, you know, the guy who owns the company, the CEO, will fly in and everybody will be sitting there. He'll walk in, they'll have a 10-minute meeting, literally 10 minutes. Because his point is if you can't say what you want to say within 10 minutes. You don't know what you're thinking. You don't know what you're saying. Like, you know, I think Einstein even mentioned that. If you can't explain something very simply, you don't know enough about it. Because if it says, oh, I would need an hour to explain, it means you really don't know it that well. You know, you may know a lot, you may be an expert, but you're not. But the thing is that's only in this aspect. You can't understand the whole thing. So his point is that we're doing what we're doing. You know how we're going about it. Does somebody have an idea how we could improve on some area or something like that? And if so, then they should be able to say it, you know, in a few sentences. And so they would talk through things. Things would be written down. It would be handed into him. He would take a look at it all. And if anything made some sense, you know, that list looked really good, he called the person in and then let them explain and get into the detail. So the point being is that when Prabhupada said 3 hours was enough, then technically, if you had, you know, a room full of, I'm not sure how many were at that time, if it was 12 or 24 GBC, and then if there were 12 like him, that's all it would take. You know, so okay, they needed more. It got 3 days. Then after Prabhupada left, it would be 10 days. No, even before Prabhupada left, it went up to, it was 10 days, 6 hours a day. And then sometimes they say, oh, it's not enough. So they do 2 weeks. And then after doing 2 weeks for a couple of years, they go, this is too much. And they cut it back down to 10 days. I'm not sure if they ever settled on 12 days because it's in between, but I don't know. So the point being is that the essence then means you actually understand what's going on. What's the actual purpose for? We get caught up in the details, then things don't happen. I remember once as a kid, I was, how you say, washing dishes in some small, it might have been for the YMCA or something. They had a little canteen or something. And I remember there was a bread pan, bread pans this big. And that tall that you make a loaf of bread in, a single loaf of bread. I remember washing that for 45 minutes. You get into it and there's something a little bit more, a little bit more, and you get right down into there. It's a good thing I didn't have a microscope or a magnifying glass, or I probably would have been washing it for 3 hours. Right? So the point is that you get too far, Or even if that is, okay, it's got some rust on it, the easiest thing is to take some very fine sandpaper and spend 2 minutes and it's gone. But instead, I'm in there, washing it with water and soap and all that for 2 hours. I mean, an hour, 45 minutes. So that's the thing, is we can get so much into detail that we miss the point. You can't, there's a saying in English, you can't see the forest for the trees. I can't see the whole forest and appreciate because I'm seeing the trees and all that, and all there is trees, and I can't see the rest of the forest. So I can only see those trees right around me. If you step back, you can see the whole forest. Then you know where those trees that are connected to you will fit in. So that's the point, is that Bhagavatam and hearing Bhagavatam, the association of devotees, that's the core point. Because from that, you're going to be hearing about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna, about devotional service, about developing love for Krishna and how those in that love for Krishna were functioning. And so then you become inspired. You are interested in that. So then you want to move forward in that. And Krishna within the heart, then he cleanses the heart. That's what he means. And Gita, I think it's that verse, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, Didami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Yena Mam Upayanti Te. I think it's that one. Unless it's the next one, Tesham Ukam Ivan Ukam Part Tam. Tam Aham, what? Tam Agyanatam, been a while. I think it's that one. Where Krishna said is he's sitting in the heart of the devotee as they're doing devotional service and always hearing and chanting about him, then he, like the bee goes and takes, pollen from all the different, these difficult recesses of the flowers. And Krishna, he takes out all the impurities in the heart of the devotee, and then they become our heart becomes purified. They become established in relishing, the hearing and chanting about Krishna. So they relish hearing book Bhagavatam in the association of the devotee Bhagavatam. And so that's actually the essential point. Everything else is simply in support of that. If that's understood, the movement becomes very easy. The institution is very easy. Our own personal life is very easy. Our association with others is very easy. That becomes the essential point. And then everything else is details supporting that. So some situations might have more details and more work to do to support that, and others it may be less. But the point is it's all there. It all fits together. If that's there, then you see things completely. Then there's you don't have the element of like the prestige and all that kind of stuff. Because as was mentioned by Jiva Goswami, that let's see, greed, I think pride and prestige. These don't have any place in devotional service. They're not part of the devotional process. They have to be removed. So this dhanam, janam, sundarin, that has to be removed. And so this whole idea is, oh, I'm in this position, so I'm special and I'm better than the other devotees. That's not actually devotional. It's not a devotional identity because we're the soul. We're not the conditioning. We're not the particular service. We're a soul engaged in that service, but it's not that it's us. I'm the temple president. No, you're doing the service of a temple president, but you're not technically the temple president. That's what happened with Lord Brahma when he came to Dwarka, to visit Krishna. And he came to the person at the door, and they said, how may we help you? I'd like to mention Krishna. Who do we say has come? Tell him Lord Brahma has come, right? Rather than his humble servant who's serving in the post of Chakramukh Brahma, right? No, he said Lord Brahma has come. Because, Lord Brahma is you could say the most pious and the senior most living entity in the universe, because he's first in the universe and all others are coming from him. So you can say he could think like that. But the point is that's not how the devotee thinks. So when he says, I am, Lord Brahma, then he went back in and told Krishna, Lord Brahma has come to see. And because Krishna knows he's in the heart, he knows that there's some pride and sense of prestige. Therefore, he told the assistant, go back and ask him which one. And he goes back and asks him. He says, I and said, oh, so did you met the Lord? Yes. What did he say? He said to ask you which Brahma. And Brahma's thinking, what do you mean, which Brahma? I'm the only Brahma. And then at that time, Krishna had called all the Brahmas from other universes, and they're all coming. All these ones, they got 10 heads, 100 heads, 1,000 head, 10,000 head, million heads, like that, and all coming and all that. Then, and Brahma is the smallest. He only has 4 heads because we have the smallest universe. Of all the universes, unlimited universes, this one's the smallest. That's why Brahma has 4 heads. It only takes 4 heads to manage. Some of them are so big, it takes a million heads to manage it. Right? So then Brahma could understand, oh, okay, I'm just a humble servant of Krishna. I'm not like the big man because I'm Brahma. So that's the aspect that should be seen. So as soon as that prestige comes up, that will get in the way of our devotional service. So yes, somebody is, by Krishna's grace and by grace of Guru and the Vaishnavas, is able to perform the duties of some leadership position, right? And preaching and managing and organizing, some way like that, then that's very, very nice. But they always see themselves as simply a humble servant of Krishna, and Krishna is the service that I'm doing, right? So it's nothing special because by Krishna's grace, we're doing it, and so it could be this, it could be anything. And that way, then the culture goes on very nicely. So one has to be very, know that this is actually the central feature. Otherwise, we'll take it. Oh, no, my teaching is the most important. No, my management is the most important. No, without money, none of you can do anything. So my money, gaining money, is the most important. But the other guy says, yeah, all you guys sit around the office. We do all the work. Without us, you couldn't do anything. Like that, and so it just keeps going on and on like that. And so then, the guy washing the pots could say, I'm the most important because if I don't wash the pot, then they can't cook. And if they don't cook, no one eats. If no one eats, then how long is the temple going to go on? How long the devotees without food? How long till they starve to death? So therefore, I'm the most important, right? Like that. And and then the plumber could say, no, I'm the most important. You're washing the pots. But the sink gets clogged up in the drain, and if I don't clean that, you can't wash the pot. So therefore, my plumbing is the most important. It could just go on and on and on. So that's the whole thing is, no, Krishna is the most important. The Vaishnava is the most important. The discussion of book Bhagavata in the association, the devotee Bhagavata, that's the most important. So one always has to keep that in the forefront. That's what you're trying to do. All preaching is this. It's just what format it's in, what location it's in. But that's all it is that the devotee going out preaching, representing the devotee Bhagavat, is going out and discussing book Bhagavat. Right? The managers, then they're organizing as as devotee Bhagavats, how the other devotee Bhagavats can be engaged in the service of book Bhagavat, you know, and how they can get in their time, you know, with the book. So it's always going to come back to this. That's the thing. That's why this is being pointed out so early. So the second canto, I mean, the second chapter, the first canto, it sets the whole mood of how it's pure unalloyed devotional service, you know, by hearing the name, form, qualities of Krishna in the association of devotees. That's the real thing, and coming to the platform of pure devotional service. Otherwise, then everything else is just going to be a distraction, a waste of time. If it's in line with these, then it becomes perfect. But if it's not, then it's just a distraction. Is that okay? Yes. Tatvaji.
All right, sir. Could you elaborate that? I mean, it comes often, I mean, in this chapter especially, the by association of the devotees, the devotional service, rendering the devotional service, almost all the dirtiness comes out. We will be purified. But what is the rest of, like, you know, well, one sense by Krishna's grace alone, but what are kind of a considered the rest, and what is remaining, what doesn't go out by the association and rendering service?
Okay. The what understand it's almost to nil, meaning that, I mean, you have a few aspects you can look at. Almost to nil means it's because you've gotten rid of everything, but there's still a little bit of the fragrance that's left. You know, it's just like when you have a box. I mean, the container that you keep Hing in. This is the example given. When you have Hing in the box, if you take out the Hing and wash the box is completely clean. But if you smell it, it still smells a little bit like Hing. It'll take some time for that smell to go away. So in other words, the depth of impressions that we have, so all our involvement, our conditioned nature, all that can go away, but there'll still be some little bit of fragrance that takes the continued association of the devotees that, you know, we come to the point of then we develop prema, and then it's gone. So that will be one aspect. Another aspect is that you've gotten rid of anartas, the major portion. So Prabhupada mentions nishta means 75%. So it's 25 still there. And then that 25, by being steady in nishta and hearing and chanting the association devotees, you start to develop a taste. And once that taste comes for hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees, then we see is that the anartas, whatever's left, that 25%, it's being, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example of dry leaves in a storm. It just blown away so quickly. Because once you get a taste, then it's no, you don't need to convince. Let's say you've never had a particular preparation. And it's, you know, different than what you're used to. And I'm telling you so many ways, it's fabulous, it's wonderful, it's this, it's that, everybody likes, it's that. But you say, well, yeah, okay, well, maybe, what about this, what about that? So many things, it could be going on, it could take days, weeks, months, years that you're reluctant. But there's somehow or another you do taste it, and you find the taste good, I don't have to convince you anymore. And then if I say, oh, you want some of this? And yeah. So it just means whatever is blocking goes away very quickly. So then from taste, then you get that attachment. And then you see very quickly that attachment then increases, turns into bhava. That bhava then increases in the association with devotees. Same process, hearing and chanting about Krishna. You know, and that, you know, in the Lord's pastimes. And then one comes to prema. And then one continues hearing and chanting about the glory. So the aspect of hearing and chanting about the glories of Krishna in the association of the devotees, that's an eternal process. That's bhakti. Like that. So bhakti means that enthusiasm to all your activities, all your senses are engaged in Krishna, service of Krishna's senses for Krishna's pleasure. That's bhakti. Then you're going to have the manifestations of that, of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, worshiping the deity, offering prayers, having the mood of a servant, having the mood of a friend, and that full surrender. Is that good?
Yeah, very good. If I shortly add before Swarupchaitanya Maharaj has a question, but Swarupchaitanya Maharaj mentioned that if we like example of the anarthas, that if we like to cut the tree, we first mark that. So should it be that we should first become aware of our anarthas until we get rid of them?
Yes, means the point is what you have to become aware of are the ones that are of value to you. Because those are the ones that will be deeper and hard to get rid of. But maybe anarthas you just picked up, but weren't important. Let's say, like, as a kid, all the other kids, you know, were playing around with smoking. So then, you know, to fit in with them because they'd encourage you to smoke, but it wasn't actually important to you. So then when you join Krishna consciousness, you have no attachment to smoking. It goes away immediately. Just the chanting is so powerful. It just goes away. But things that are more deep that you value. So that's why Krishna, in the second verse of the Chaturshloki, he mentions that those values that you have that are not in connection with him, that's illusion. So you have to be aware that it's there. So much may go. It means just by doing devotional service, unlimited things are going away, but those ones that are, you know, more you're more consciously aware of and are or more you're consciously value, those are the ones that you have to know. You don't have to know each and every one, because there's unlimited, you know, things there from time immemorial. So you know, we don't have to know that. Yes, I preferred eating the grass on that side of the field, on that side of the hill, you know, when I was, you know, a buffalo, you know, those guys, you don't have to worry about those, you know, so that kind of stuff, all that will go, but the ones that are left that you have to work with, those are the ones that you need to be aware and be willing to let go. And then when you let go, then Krishna will take care. You know, you take one step towards Krishna, he'll take 10 towards you. Does that make sense? Okay. Try. Okay. Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj, for excellent explanation. I'm just asking regarding the same what Tatvavadaji asked, like almost completely destroyed. So kind of, if it's almost, so why they used the word completely? Or if it's completely, so better not to use the word almost, because completely is quite a strong statement. But when you add
yes,
almost, it just kind of contradicts. So I'm just wondering, the word prayeshu, maybe it's hidden the answer in the term of prayeshu. Can you elaborate on prayeshu?
Do you know what Prabhupada gives the translation as?
Almost to nil.
Almost to nil. Yes. So here, almost to nil. Because here is a matter of one thing that you're dealing with when you're dealing with, let's say, Prabhupada and the Acharya's Sanskrit. You're dealing with poetics. And poetics here, we mean how nicely it's said that conveys the actual meaning and you know, the practice means the real meaning of the experience and all those things. Right, because well, sometimes they say poetry, you know, it just sounds nice, you know, but it doesn't necessarily have any substance. But for the Vaishnavs, you know, the Vedic poetic means you can very pleasantly say something that has very deep meaning and import. Right, so one is you have almost completely to nil means, because the point being is that by this process, it will take it to completely nil. There won't be anything left. But what we're talking here is that it's the platform of nishta. This verse establishes nishta, right? And so you've gotten rid of the things of the anarthas that brings to this point, because it's about steadiness by regular hearing like that. Then I think the next verse will take it farther. And so then At this point, as we mentioned before, there's still something left. But the point is when you have 75%, you call it by that thing. Right? Like that. When it's but just like, let's say, you have these kind of like, blankets or quilts, especially the handmade ones or the old style ones, and they have, they have a predominant color, and then there's some other colors there as highlights. So let's say the blanket is blue, but it has some red highlights, a little bit of yellow, a little bit of white. But if we'll say, what color is the blanket? We'll say blue. We won't say it's blue with all these other things, so it's not actually blue because it's got these other things, so it's not just straight blue. No, you'll call it blue. So Nishta, then basically you're saying is that it's pretty well gone. It's not completely gone, that we know, because until you come to prema. But the point is now you're at that tipping point. Before that, then one has attachments to the material, to the conditioning. And that technically that the earlier you are in the neophyte process, the greater is the material. Like when someone just comes in, just gives faith, then the material is still quite strong. And depending on what it is, it could so easily get adjusted. But now once he decides that association of devotees is important, now the material has gone down a little bit more, like that, because you've added in devotees. That's when it gets to bhajan and kriya a little bit more. And then when it gets down to anartha nivriti, then it crosses into that there's, when you come to nishta, now it's more spiritual than material. And so then practically the nil, because you want to point out, so we mentioned about the poetics, so you can use these seemingly contradictory points, but the point is devotional service, the name, the holy name of Krishna and the association of Vaishnavas is so powerful, it can remove anything material. Material is just a shadow, and Krishna and the devotees are substance. So, there might be a little shadow over in the corner, but does it matter? It's just like you get up in the morning, the room's dark, you turn on the light. And so everywhere where you're moving is light. But if you go behind the chair, it's dark, and behind the cabinet, it's dark, and behind the curtains, it's still dark. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect you at all. Right? So that's the whole point, is that devotion, this process of what's being talked here about hearing Bhagavatam, the association of devotees, is so powerful that any little that nearly doesn't matter. It's so small because the focus is on what is substance. And then, as we mentioned, once you get the taste, then it goes that you really couldn't care less about any of the, other things. And then very quickly it goes like that. So that's what comes to mind now. I think I'm not sure. I think one of the acharyas gives a very technical point of exactly what that means, that what your question is. Because the acharyas then, when they're giving, that they're presenting it and they'll bring up doubts, but they're bringing up doubts that are by someone who is really thinking about the subject matter and going into some specific aspect of it, logically. And so that needs to be addressed, because for, generally you just say, it's almost destroyed. And like, yeah, okay, cool. But then someone thinks about it, like you're saying, but wait a minute, completely destroyed, almost completely destroyed. But that's the poetics. It's almost completely destroyed. It means it's at this point, it's not completely yet. It's not completely, completely destroyed. It's almost completely destroyed. So the emphasis on the completely destroyed, but the position we're in almost. And so you want it to be inspiring. So that's the poetical elements. That's why for us, it's this concept, the modern academic, the scholarly concept of literal translation for us is doesn't mean literal translation for us and literal translation for them is two different things. For them, literal means according to the grammar and the lexicography of the dictionary meaning of the word, that exactly goes, and they try to put things together, like that. And it doesn't always work, because when you talk, it's my experience. I'm talking about it to you to try to give you a common experience. And so it's the experiential aspect that is being expressed, but it's not that it can't be logically expressed. That's the whole fun of it. The Vedic, or the, you know, especially the Vaishnava poetics, is extremely logical, but it's explained very sweetly in a way, or it can be very direct also, but it's done in such a way that the mind and heart and intelligence, consciousness, all that can catch it. It's not that, oh, it sounds very good for the senses or the mind, or it sounds very good intellectually, or it's just, you know, oh yes, you know, if we're just all absorbed, it's all Brahman. And like, no, it's everything together. So that's the thing, the poetics of the devotees, you know, so like Prabhupada's written the Gita. And so it's exact, but it's poetic. And so then some scholars will come along and say, well, this is not literal. Because, you know, in Monier Williams' dictionary, the word says it means this. But since when is Monier Williams the authority on Sanskrit language for those who know Sanskrit from India? He's a German guy who, good chance, he never even went to India. He just got books, studied it, learned it, how much he knew. He doesn't know how people use the words. He picks up something from some of the literatures that he's dealing with. But there's a good chance that he'll say some of the literatures that he's doing, they're actually using the wrong word, because how much he understands, that's then what how he defines it. But if we're defining it by usage, there's so many words that can make so many fine details, that nuances and subtleties that can be there that wouldn't necessarily be there. You know, like the word novel. You know, can mean a very long story that has all kinds of unique things and it's different than that. Or it can just mean simple, it's novel as an idea or something that's done, it's novel, it's unique. So do I say it's one or the other? No, there's elements of both in it. But the point is, you have to see is how it's being used. Then it has the meaning. So that's the point, is the Vaishnava is poetic. He can say it, understand the, you know, the essence and that, and then be able to express that so that you can grasp it and use it, while the literal translation cannot be grasped or used. That's the problem. Because for the scholar, the more they can speculate on it and think of it this way and that way and have fun, that's all they want. So they don't want a conclusion, right? And if it's so complex that the common person can't understand it, that's even better, because that makes them feel superior. Well, the whole point is no, it's beyond that. It's like, what the Vaishnavas are talking about, those who are more advanced see the subtleties out there, but those who are less advanced, they catch the main principles. And they may not understand it as a principle, that's just how much they know, and they may think it's a detail, but it's actually the principle. So everybody catches at every level they can appreciate. So that's the uniqueness of the Vaishnava poetic position. You know, it's very much in contrast to the scholarly concept of literal translation. You know, and so people want to argue that, you know, Sukadev or Sutta Goswami or our Acharyas or Srila Prabhupada, you know, it's not a literal translation, you know, literal understanding, or they're taking poetic license. No. They're saying as it is. This is Bhagavat and book Bhagavat and devotee Bhagavat. And so those who are servant of the servant of the servant shouldn't be discussing, oh no, but you know, this is not a literal translation. That's like someone in the third grade telling the professor that he doesn't know what he's talking about. And that is literal. You know, we're not being poetic here at all, other than the example of using third grader and the professor. But otherwise, we mean that direct. It means a slap in the face. Anybody who says that Prabhupada, you know, doesn't give an actual literal translation that scholars would appreciate it. I mean, I'm saying slap in the face. Prabhupada's term is kick on the face. So that could mean you kick them in the face or you kick them in the backside so they fall on their face. Either way, that's the poetic. In other words, the poetic is kick on their face because, you know, either way, it doesn't, if they're facing you, it's on the face. If they're not facing you, then they end up on the face. But otherwise, this is just insulting. It's just insulting. Is that okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Maharaj. Beautiful. Thank
Okay.
you.
Okay.
Just
Okay.
when a novice reader of Bhagavatam, say first time reading, reads, oh, completely destroyed, so much hope for the process, let me take it over. But then he sees almost, oh, kind of disappointing.
No, but the thing is almost is, let's just almost there. It'd be like saying, like we would say is, like it's like if we say it's 99.99%, you take it as complete, even though it's almost. So when you say 100%, when you're saying totally destroyed, that means 100%. So almost totally destroyed means 99.99, because that last bit comes at prema. That last bit just goes when one just, I think the acharyas mentioned, you know, when Prabhupada mentions, when it just, when one completely just falls in love with Krishna and there's nothing in any way blocking, so you're completely absorbed in Krishna, that takes on the 100%. Because before that, there would be something else that's there and important and all that, but at that point, it just all goes. So, you know, if it's 99, okay, then you go more, it's 90, 99.9, and then even more, 99.99, you know, so, and then it's 100%, you know, so.
Anyway, gives us a huge hope. So let's continue with the process.
Yes,
Thank you.
exactly.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank
Thank
you.
you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hare Krishna. Yeah, I mean, those comments about literal and that weren't meant directed at you. No, they were directed at others, you know, in the past that have made these comments about Prabhupada and the Acharyas, like that. Yes. Tatpaji.
Maharaj, still related to that Anartha point. Swata Maharaj worked a lot with that in the Vedanta psychology, and he, I mean, I heard he's always talking about that book also when we were traveling. So he mentioned the point that when the knot in the heart, which is the sex desire, is taking away, then all the other anarthas, or the small knots, however you like to describe, they will fall off. But then seeing the point that there are many philosophers, many teachers, many who almost spit for the idea of sex life, you know, meaning for a reason or another, they have come to the point of not having and not even longing after that. So then what is the, is it the false tendency to enjoy and to be controller, but at the same time, if it's that, then how can it be without enjoying and without controlling? So could you a little elaborate, what is the higher state, what I could say Swata Maharaj didn't aim in this book more than to this point, is still, how would I say, missing, or at least for me, unclarified.
It means you're giving up material desire. That's the point. You're giving up material desire. And so there's nothing that, you know, that you want to enjoy separately than its natural expression in Krishna's service. So means because you see is that there's a detail, like you said, sex life or intoxication or meat eating or gambling or, you know, cars or money or this or that. They're all going to be connected. But if you give up give up the desire for material enjoyment, that there's no interest in material enjoyment, just want to serve Krishna, then all of those go away. So that's how you can have someone who may have given up, the external elements of sex life or money or this or that, like you have some of these very advanced sages and this and that. But if they're not devotees, there's still the desire to control and enjoy. They haven't given that up, though they're not. So that's why they want to control and enjoy as in liberation. In liberation, then they're Brahman. So that means you're the Ishwara, you're the supreme. And they being in that position, they'll be the greatest Ananda because it's Brahmananda. Right? In other words, when you get rid of all the pain, then it's happiness. Just like you're sitting there and you're fine, right? You're comfortable. It's nice. But now let's say if someone comes along and crawls under the desk there and grabs your foot and then is taking, something and harassing your foot, tickling your foot or poking your foot. It's a disturbance, right? So that's material life, right? Dharma Artha Kama. Now, when they stop doing that, and now it just goes back to what it was before, you'll go, this is nice. So in other words, that neutral stage is nice. That's Brahmananda. It's just the neutral stage of no material. But and it's spiritual, but it doesn't have transcendental. It doesn't have the relationship with the Lord. So once one gets a taste in that, then the other elements of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha are not of interest anymore. So that's why you see these great sages, and that they may still have that slight aspect is there. It's very, it's very small, but in one sense, because it's small in that it doesn't have any material outlets, but it's not that it's any less, because that's what got us here in the first place, right? Is the desire to control and enjoy. So in other words, they get rid of the gross sex life, but they maintain the subtle. And if you maintain the subtle, it's just a matter of time before it becomes gross again. So you have to give up the actual material desire itself. That means that you don't. It's not that I stop desiring. No, that's the whole point of the Vedanta psychology, is that you can't give up desiring. That's the nature of the living entity. He's a person. He desires, but now it's what he desires. If he desires to engage his senses in the various situations and activities that get results to please Krishna, that's the natural form of desire. But if in any situation he's seeing, how can I engage my senses to please myself? That's the abnormal condition. That's the mundane condition. So he wants to give that up, for the other. So it's not a matter of I don't have anything to do with the material world. But at the same time, I also don't have anything to do with the spiritual world. They've given up the gross material, but they haven't given up the desire still to be separate from Krishna. So the neutral state, can either be the topmost for those who don't want anything to do with Krishna, or it's the bottom, it's the platform that you stand on for those who are devotees and want to serve Krishna. So it's an overlap, because the jiva is transcendental, spiritual, let's say, by nature. And so that platform of spirituality means it's not material, but at the same time, they haven't developed love for Krishna. That's there. So we've already been there and moved away from Krishna and came here. The natural position is from that neutral point to go towards Krishna and develop prema. So then that becomes the difference. Does that work?
Yeah, they're very, very nicely. Still, maybe last, could it be that just giving up, whatever, the sex life is still just part of anartha nivritti?
See, is when that's the major focus and you're dealing with the greatest kind of amount in the way of in our consciousness, that's called anartha nivritti, right? But at the same time, until you get the prema, there's going to be a little bit of anartha nivritti going away. but it's not on the gross platform. It's about I am the controller and enjoyer. But for us, it's controller and enjoyer here. When you get up to the level of bhava, then it's I'm a great devotee and I'm a guru or of devotees. That's the last bit that catches devotees when they think I'm advanced and I'm a guru of devotees. And so that will stop you. I think Haridas Thakur mentions this, I think in Harinam Chintamani, that can stop them from moving forward. So they can get stuck for some time. Right.
So it looks like all the Gaudiya mats, they are on that level. Whenever you meet them, they chant 3.5 rounds, follow 3.5 principles, and they guide you very nicely.
So. Yeah, one has to be, one say, means there'll be many examples. And so one has to see is that, okay, that's what you don't do. And then, you know, because it has to be practical, because as you're seeing there is seeing the fault, like what Maharaj is saying, when you acknowledge the fault, that it's there or that weakness, then that's the first step, but actually removing it's the more important step. So even if we see it in others, but the point is, and if we see it, that means either we have it, or we had it. But otherwise, you won't see something that you don't relate to. Right? Unless it's by association, then I can explain it by I've heard from others about it, though I don't know what they're talking about. Like, you know, I can talk about what's going on in America, even though I haven't been there. You know? And that, but, you know, it's, yeah. So, when we see that, then we see, okay, that's what we shouldn't do. Then we should be looking at ourselves. Am I doing any of that in anything that I'm doing? That's where it goes. So in other words, someone else is having a fault and us seeing it should be also a stepping stone for us to see is, do we have that? And then, you know, and then make that determination that it goes away. So the point is sex life, that, you know, that we're distracted by, it's a particular detail, right? It means it's an activity of engaging the senses, you know, along eating, sleeping, depending, there are ways of engaging the senses. But the point is in the spiritual world, you're engaging the senses, but it's for Krishna. So that's why if you do everything for Krishna, you've already accomplished the other one. The other one's done. Does that make sense? If I'm like, it's like if I'm staying in the house, I'm not outside. So just by staying in the house, I don't have to separately endeavor to not be outside. I'm already in the house. So the aspect of seeing a fault somewhere. You know, it's just like the universal form. We see, okay, there's a nice tree. And so the beauty of the tree is actually Krishna, right? And so then I'm seeing Krishna. I'm not actually seeing the tree. The tree is there. You can see the form, but it's not that you're not seeing it from the perspective of the particular shape or geometry of the tree or the botanical aspect. You're seeing it from the potency of the tree, the treeness of the tree is Krishna, and that's why it's so nice and attractive. So Krishna is the most attractive. So the tree has a little bit of Krishna's beauty in it, and that's why it looks attractive. And so if you're doing that, you're not thinking how to enjoy the tree. So in the same way as if we give up the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, you've already given up, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, you know, on the material platform. Does that make sense?
Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj, very, very much. Just correcting to the others that I said sarcastically, the Gaudiya mats are correcting you nicely, nothing like nicely. It's just that they are eager to always teach you even they don't know any.
No, that's another thing.
Raghunathji, you have some questions.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Maharaj. There is a point that if I understand clearly, I was reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is explaining this point of the almost, that this almost, this small part which is missing in this 100 cents, is that it's only the Krishna's mercy that we can go back home, back to Godhead, and be 100 cents pure.
Oh, okay, that's very nice.
Because to the point when we are in this material world, we are surrounded by the false ego, which is not possible for us to remove, and only Krishna can remove it. And in this time, sexual need for sense gratification in the material world will change to the pure love of God, because this love of God and lust is the perverted love of Godhead manifested by the false ego in the material world. Then this changing from lust to the love of God, it's only in the hand of the Krishna. And therefore, there is the almost only. This part is with me.
Okay, very good. Very good. Maharaj, is that good? Did we lose him?
Perfect.
Yeah, so that was there, because I remember that some of the acharyas had talked about that, and here then Prabhupada had given it very nicely. In that perfect part, because I mean, in other words, it's everything's been removed on what you can do by your engagement in the process. So you can say what our engagement in devotional service can remove that 100%, but it's still not 100%. It's our part of it 100%, but that last little bit has to be Krishna and his mercy. That's why we see when we're serving the devotees, then by the devotee's grace, then we get Krishna's grace, right? By the mercy of Krishna, one gets devotee. By the mercy of devotee, one gets Krishna. And so then, if we're serving the spiritual master, serving the previous acharyas, and they're serving Srimati Radharani, and then from that, she's pleased, she asks Krishna, and then when Krishna is pleased, then it's done. So in other words, So I would think of looking at it from that point that Maharaj is making, that someone might feel disheartened because they think that I can't attain 100%. But it means the point is what is within your capability to do, you can get that 100%. But the overall still has to be Krishna. You know. So therefore, then they can be pleased that... I mean, they can be inspired, because then it's still it's still, they know they can have full confidence by me following this process. I can bring it, I can be involved so it gets to the point where Krishna being pleased, then it's complete. Okay, that's good, Maharaj. Okay, really good. You're going down again. Okay, so then, okay, any other questions on this one, on this, or any of the discussions we've had, or anything? No? Okay. So, yeah, Raghunath, see, you can start the next. Yeah, the next, and then a little bit of the purport so that we can.
Tada rajastamo bhavah kamalo patayoshchaye cheta etar anavidham sitam sattve prasidati. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he became completely happy. A living being is his normal constitutional position, is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence is called Brahma Bhuta or Atmanandi or the state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in the state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material state of existence. This stage of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the analogic activity of the soul. The soul's activity becomes adulterated in the contact with matter, as such the deceased activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep. The effect of devotional service became manifest by complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudeva, or the state of unmixed sattva or Shuddha sattva. Only in this Shuddha sattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. A devotee is always in the mode of analogic goodness. Therefore, he harms no one. But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. A devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord. However, they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with all good qualities of God. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different, but qualitatively, both the Lord and his devotee are one and the same. The end of the book.
Okay, that's the end of that purport. Okay. So then we'll start on this, and then next time we'll probably continue. Is that the so we're saying here is that the last verse on we're saying about one's nishta, one's fixed. So, and in that nishta, one has in the faith, it is what would be called dridha shraddha, or fixed faith, a firm faith. Now you see the word firm faith being used a lot. So by being in that position, then one's regular, and then by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, then it becomes more and more, everything's removed up to practically nil. So then that will mean it'll be brought up to that point where he's saying is you've come to the point where you're situated in goodness. It doesn't mean that someone's doing something in goodness. One's situated in goodness, right? So there'll be a slight difference because let's say the Brahman is doing activities of goodness, so his occupational duties and all that, but why is he doing them? There's generally the aspect of passion where he wants the benefits that come from it, you know, even though they may be auspicious benefits, but it's still, and there's ignorance because he still identifies that he's the Brahman, he's the body, you know, he's from this place, he's a Tamil Brahman, or he's a Karnataka Brahman, or, you know, I'm a, you know, how you say, Rajasthani Brahman, or like this. There's still going to be some element like that, or, you know, if we extend it more, the New York Brahman, you know, the London Brahman, like that. So the point is that there's still a little, because goodness still means there's some passion and ignorance. So then being situated in goodness means you're bringing it to the point basically like pure goodness. And so that's going to be the you could say the stage or the platform by which you are functioning. You're on the platform of pure goodness. You know, so it's Vishuddha Sattva. but at the same time as that Vishuddha Sattva, then has to move forward into application, like we saw before with the Chakravyuha. Chakravyuha, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha. So you have Sankarshan is Sambandha, Prajumna, Abhideya, and Aniruddha, Prayojana. So these three features, then you're going to have what's the nature of them, how they function, you know, how to identify them, how to explain them, how they work, how they, you know, all the mechanics of them, all the knowledge, all the logic, all the connections, everything will be there. But and you can say that's one is situated in this perfect Sof Sambandha Gyan. But then you're going to have to apply that where the three of them are working together in balance to serve the Lord or in the Lord's pastimes. That's called Vasudeva Sattva. So we see is that the devotee here, then even he's situated on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, he's still, that from that platform, it's very easy to move forward because one is situated in pure goodness. But one still has to, it's because of one's attraction and attachment to Krishna that one can move forward into Vasudeva Sattva. And from that platform of pure goodness, that's dynamic, then you're taking part in the Lord's pastimes. That will then bring you to love for Krishna. So we're seeing we're going from being materialistic to becoming a devotee who still has some material tendencies but is interested in pure devotion. Then he comes to being fixed in that determination. Then he becomes situated in that transcendental, that spiritual position. And then from there he moves forward. You know, he can take part in the pastimes in that transcendental position. That brings him to prema, like that. Does that make sense? Like that, because there's also being, yeah, that's good. Still some time. Wow, that's interesting. So in that, because we mentioned that, because Tetra had asked that point before about how does that move forward? So then it's the next major, you could say, element that comes up as taste for devotional service. Means that we're doing devotional service, we have a taste. But it hasn't come to the point where it's the major feature in our faith. So we have faith, that's why we're chanting, we're associating with devotees, we have faith in Prabhupada and the Acharyas and in Krishna, you know, like that. That's all there. But then that faith will move forward by taste. And when we get a taste, we become attached, right, to Krishna. So that's a sakti. So the position of a sakti is called dridha nishta. That's also, that means dridha means, you know, firmly fixed and nishta. In other words, I start the process, means in the madhyama platform, you know, nishta, then ruchi, then a sakti. You know, you're moving forward. So the beginning is called nishta because you're fixed, means you're not so distracted like before. But then by having that taste and becoming attached, now you are, you know, you can say you're firmly nishta, firmly fixed in the process. Before you're fixed, now you're firmly fixed. The one you have firm faith, and then you're fixed. But this takes it further. And so from that position, then naturally that turns into bhava, the Atmarama platform that you talked about. And then from that Atmarama platform, then one takes part in the Lord's pastimes, you know, in the Vasudeva, you know, in that position of the Lord, means he's, the Lord Vasudeva is performing his pastimes, one can take part in those pastimes directly. And that then brings you to prema. But as, yeah. And that's done. And how is this faith moving forward every time? That's the association of devotees. We're hearing and chanting about Krishna. And so that's how we are moving forward. Right? So that's the point. So we're hearing here from devotees. And then when we get to the spiritual platform, like that means, you know, we're, you know, in the spiritual realm. Then we're associating with the Lord's associates. Then by that, faith moves from simply Atmarama up to that dynamic attachment to Krishna, exclusive attachment, that allows us to take part in the pastimes. you know, that directly, that Vasudeva aspect. And then being taking part there in the association of the eternal associates, taking on their mood of devotion, you know, their love for Krishna, then we come to that platform of developing love for Krishna. Right? And so then it works out nicely. So, you know, in here is that we can see how Prabhupada's used the word. So there's differentiation between the, you could say the Shuddha Sattva or Vishuddha Sattva and the Vasudeva Sattva. Well, in other places, you don't necessarily have to make the difference because the devotee is doing service to Krishna. It is taking part in the greater pastimes, the Sankirtan pastimes. So it is it's situated on the transcendental platform. It's just a matter of what Prabhupada's talking about there is one's always on that platform because we'll be sometimes we're out, let's say, doing some book distribution or some preaching or some nice service to the deities or something. And we have that mood that we're fully absorbed. And so, you know, it's a very nice taste and everything. But, you know, after we finish that service, we're doing something else. We may not be as well situated, right? So it'll be sometimes on and off. But here we're meaning then you're always situated because if you come to the point of samadhi, you know, in bhava, then you're always on that platform. So it doesn't waver. So again, your nishta there, you can see it's in the middle, is that you have the beginning stages of bhava. Then you become situated where you're fixed in that exclusive focus on Krishna and samadhi. Then by associating with the devotees, that brings you on to prema. So we see is each situation has three positions, and it's all going to be happening because of that association with devotees. You know, always about hearing and chanting. You know, I mean, here it means associating with book Bhagavat and the association of devotee Bhagavat. It means you come, you get Shraddha, and you come to the platform of Sadhu Sangha, right? By that brings you to the Bhajana Kriya. So that means you've taken shelter of Guru. Now you're surrendered to that process. And then you get rid of the anarthas. Then, you know, that brings us to, then we're fixed in devotional service. In the association of devotees, hearing and chanting, we get a taste for it. And that brings about us being completely fixed in that devotional activity. That will then bring us to, in the Uttama platform, that Atmarama position, which then will, by the association of devotees, then mature into exclusive, you know, faith in Krishna and focus on Krishna. Then taking part in the pastimes, that will then bring us to prema. And then we'll continue, and you know, that in the association, whatever situation we're in the association of devotees, we're going to do devotional service, you know, out of love for Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. And that will go on eternally. Yes, Tattvaji.
Maras, this, I'm still looking like kind of a the spiritual proper application of being the, not being, but controlling and enjoying. Could we say that in the control aspect, the main aspect is that we take care of the things, people who are related, you know, planning according and like that. And in the enjoyment state, we kind of please the Lord with the proper attitude and service. Or what is missing, or is that even on
yeah. Yeah. No. To see, it's like I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. It's Krishna is the controller. Krishna is the enjoyer. We're just trying to do what he's doing. So therefore, Krishna controls everything. And so we can take part in his pastimes, you know, like here for us, the Sankirtan pastimes, by whatever is there available for engaging in the Lord's service, we engage. So in other words, we may be working with the item and, you know, manipulating it and all that, but that ability and results is all given by Krishna. So it means we're engaging our senses in Krishna's service, but we're engaging them, but by Krishna's grace. So it's not that we're not getting things done. It's not that we sit back and do nothing. And enjoyment, when Krishna enjoys, we enjoy. You know, when Krishna, you know, is happy, we're happy. You know, just like if let's say you're really, really hungry, right? I mean, like extremely hungry, you know, you feel weak, there's some pains in the muscles and joints, you want to sit down and that, and even you lay down, you don't feel so good. But as soon as the whole body, it means the stomach's not happy, the whole body's not happy, right? But as soon as you have a nice meal and all that, then the whole body is comfortable. So it's just, it's inherent that if Krishna is pleased, we'll be pleased because we're part and parcel of him. So if he's happy, we as a part will automatically be happy. But if it's saying that we, the part, will be happy separately from Krishna, you know, it's just like saying my toe will be happy separate from me. How that'll work? No, your toe is happy in connection with you. You know, so it's just a natural logic. We're, you know, from time immemorial, we've been trying to ignore that, you know, logic, that fact. But the point is that's actually what it is. And so, therefore, when we take part by under the direction of the devotees, according to, you know, what's pleasing to Krishna, we engage our senses in Krishna's service. That's going beyond I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's why then, you know, Lord Chaitanya gives that point, that naham vipro na channara patir napi vaishan shudro, that verse. So gopi bartu padakamalayor dasa dasana dasaha. That I'm not any of these external point things. I'm simply the servant of Krishna. Now, he as a, you know, coming from, you know, the situation of the Brahmin family and the Brahmin village there, he does Brahmin stuff for serving Krishna. Maharaj Pratyaparudra does Kshatriya stuff for pleasing Krishna, right? Vasudeva, I mean, it's it. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya does Brahminical stuff for Krishna. Ramananda Rai, he does Shudra stuff for Krishna, you know, and then some of the other devotees, then they're doing Vaishya stuff, you know, like what is it? I think it was, what was his name? Yeah. So they're doing Vaishya stuff for Krishna. So the point is, but they're no one identifies as that. They simply identify as devotees and what facilities they have and what position they have that they use in Krishna's service. Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
The time is
okay.
Time
yeah,
is,
no, the time is up. So we'll end here. Okay. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Ho.